The Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps have all met or exceeded their recruitment and retention goals. Lernis Abares, the director of the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, and here to tell you how they're doing it. Thank you very much for being on the program, Lernis, and congratulations on hitting these goals.
Well, thank you, Francis. Appreciate it.
The only bone to pick that anybody might have is that you only got 99% of your goal in the Air National Guard. Otherwise, you're right at 100 or well above.
Right. It speaks volumes for the all-volunteer force and the caliber of folks that we're bringing in. I tell you that just like every other federal agency, we depend on the men and women that we recruit, and the quality of the folks that we're bringing in really have put us in good stead. And what we found is that if you bring in the right people and they know what to expect from the organization, that it pays big dividends on the backside when you're looking at retaining those same individuals.
Well, there are three components to this, and you've touched on two of them, and one of them's kind of in the third one's kind of in the middle, and that's the onboarding process. What does that look like in DOD on the uniform side? You know, in the civilian side at a regular agency, that involves maybe some training and some classes and so on, and I guess perception from an outsider like me would be that kind of sounds like boot camp, and the onboarding process would be tremendously different among uniformed personnel.
Right. Well, because many of the organizations that we have depend on a very diverse group. We have a very structured and formal onboarding process. But I would tell you it starts well before that. It starts with the recruiters in the field. It starts with them meeting with individuals and many times their families and making sure that everybody clearly understands what's expected of military members when they come on board to serve. Many times they'll have five or six or a dozen interactions with an individual before they actually contract to come on into the military. Once they have arrived, then naturally there's physical screening. There's also some testing for aptitude to determine exactly where they'll best fit in the organization. Boot camp, you mentioned, or basic training. The services have a very methodical approach to developing within everyone who comes in the military a common baseline of knowledge that they have about military culture, customs and courtesies, expectations of service, the need for potential deployments and reassignments throughout a career. And what we found is that the more you invest up front in making sure individuals understand what's expected of them, that when you send them off to formal training for their individual specialties after that, when you prepare them for that first assignment, it is much less stress on the member and their families when they arrive because they have a clear understanding of what's expected of them.
Do you think there are some of those techniques that would apply in a civilian agency in a civilian environment where you don't have the formal, regimented, structured process that you have in the military, but that maybe a kind of a melding of that structure and a lack of any structure would be constructive, do you think?
Right. I think there is a happy medium. There are some lessons to be learned. Because our mission is unique, with the exception of law enforcement, there really is not too many organizations where individuals are expected to put their lives on the line on a routine basis. But I would tell you that when you look at those organizations, and many civilian organizations, Fortune 500 organizations have realized that when you look at their onboarding process, they invest quite a bit of time and effort in developing within that individual a clear understanding of what the culture is about and how they can succeed in that organization.
The numbers that we have here that we've posted at federalnewsradio.com on your recruiting obviously don't show any kind of impact on what Secretary Gates has talked about as far as some of the budget challenges and what Congress has talked about some of the budget challenges. It doesn't seem like that's having any impact on you being able to attract people. Are you hearing anything anecdotally from recruiters or from the new recruits themselves about any apprehensions that they might have about budget stuff?
Not so much on the budget end. We've been very vigilant about communicating to the American people exactly what our military men and women are going through. And with the transparency that we've had through the last two conflicts, I think they have a much better understanding than they have had in decades past of what's expected of serving members. But as far as the impact on recruits, there are so many factors that come into play, whether it's the availability of competitive jobs in the marketplace, whether it is the exact how widely we're deployed right now, whether the individual wants to see the world or stay close to home, whether the individual is looking for an opportunity to get advanced education benefits, or if they have a family that they're looking to have a very solid and secure work environment. All of those factors come into play, and what we're finding is recruits come in for as many different reasons as we have recruits, and but where we really make our money is during that first term of service, during that initial contact, when they are serving with us. If they find they have meaningful work, if they find the sense of family, the culture embraces that member and that member's family members, many times by the time they come up on the end of their contract, or in the case of officers, their end of their commitment, they have found a new home, and we rely on those individuals voluntarily continuing on in the service. It is partially what I mentioned before, in that you're bringing in the right sorts of folks. We're choosing from America's best and their brightest, and trying to retain those individuals who have the aptitude and the desire to continue to serve their nation. I mean, it is a unique service. It is not one that by any means that we're going to be as competitive in the marketplace as some of the commercial industries. But what they find in place of perhaps a high salary is they're finding a home. They're finding a place where they can walk on any base or installation and feel immediately welcomed by their brothers and sisters in arms.
Lernis, I appreciate you being on with me this afternoon to talk about this. Congratulations on hitting these numbers, and we will post them up, as I mentioned, at federalnewsradio.com. Thank you for your insight.
Well, I appreciate that.
Lernis Abair is the director of the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.